This is the NOCN ESOL International Proficient Level C2 listening examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 6 questions and 4 sentences. Read the answers on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the answers. Listen to the questions and sentences. You will hear them twice. Choose the best answer.
One. How did your plans go for your holiday? Two. I am bored with my job. I need a change. 3. That is an old program. Your computer needs updating. 4. All staff must follow the health and safety procedures at all times. 5. I did not pay my mobile phone bill on time, so my phone was disconnected. 6. That does not look very safe. Is it dangerous? 7. Why don't you try and see if the key fits now? 8. My washing machine is not working. Can you help me fix it? 9. Have you got the most recent report we were given to read? 10. You look fed up. Is everything okay?
11. Now listen again.
1. How did your plans go for your holiday? 2. I am bored with my job. I need a change. 3. That is an old program. Your computer needs updating. 4. All staff must follow the health and safety procedures at all times. 5. I did not pay my mobile phone bill on time, so my phone was disconnected. 6. That does not look very safe. Is it dangerous? 7. Why don't you try and see if the key fits now? 8. My washing machine is not working. Can you help me fix it? 9. Have you got the most recent report we were given to read? 10. You look fed up. Is everything okay?
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will now hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation one. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions.
Today, we are talking to Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London. Born in South London, Khan, 45, trained as a solicitor and served for 12 years as a Labour councillor. He was elected MP for Tooting in 2005 and became Minister for Transport in 2009. Khan became Shadow Lord Chancellor and Shadow Justice Secretary under Ed Miliband and was elected Mayor of London in May 2016. He is married with two daughters. Which living person do you most admire and why?
I believe Mo Farah represents everything that's great about our country.
What is the trait you most dislike in others?
When people don't accept others for who they are. We shouldn't tolerate diversity. We should respect and celebrate it.
What is your most treasured possession?
A piece of my dad's uniform kept from the time he drove the number 44 bus across London.
Who would you invite to your dream dinner party?
Muhammad Ali, my wife, Michelle Obama, Beyonce, Sir Paul Nurse, and Bill Bailey.
Which book has changed your life?
To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
If you could bring something extinct back to life, what would you choose?
The cinema on Tooting High Street.
To whom would you most like to say sorry and why?
To my wife, Sadia, for interrupting too many evenings, weekends and family holidays with work.
What or who is the greatest love of your life?
My wife. We met as teenagers and have never looked back.
What has been your biggest disappointment?
Labour losing the 2015 election. We weren't able to help the people who needed us most.
How would you like to be remembered?
As a mayor who made London better for all Londoners, and as a good husband and father.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Today, we are talking to Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London. Born in South London, Khan, 45, trained as a solicitor and served for 12 years as a Labour councillor. He was elected MP for Tooting in 2005 and became Minister for Transport in 2009. Khan became Shadow Lord Chancellor and Shadow Justice Secretary under Ed Miliband and was elected Mayor of London in May 2016. He is married with two daughters. Which living person do you most admire and why?
I believe Mo Farah represents everything that's great about our country.
What is the trait you most dislike in others?
When people don't accept others for who they are. We shouldn't tolerate diversity. We should respect and celebrate it.
What is your most treasured possession?
A piece of my dad's uniform kept from the time he drove the number 44 bus across London.
Who would you invite to your dream dinner party?
Muhammad Ali, my wife, Michelle Obama, Beyonce, Sir Paul Nurse, and Bill Bailey.
Which book has changed your life?
To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
If you could bring something extinct back to life, what would you choose?
The cinema on Tooting High Street.
To whom would you most like to say sorry and why?
To my wife, Sadia, for interrupting too many evenings, weekends and family holidays with work.
What or who is the greatest love of your life?
My wife. We met as teenagers and have never looked back.
What has been your biggest disappointment?
Labour losing the 2015 election. We weren't able to help the people who needed us most.
How would you like to be remembered?
As a mayor who made London better for all Londoners and as a good husband and father.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. Mr. and Mrs. Rosen, you've come to view Hillfields.
Yes, we spoke to you yesterday about a viewing.
We've had so much interest in this house. It's in such a nice area and very close to local amenities.
It's certainly one of the best situated houses we've seen for a long time.
Right. Are you ready to go?
Yes. I really hope this is the one. We've had so many disappointments. We were feeling quite disillusioned. We've made offers on several houses. Not all at the same time, of course. But we lost out on the property each time.
Just take a turn to the left, and it's immediately on your right.
We know. We've driven past several times. It's really a very attractive looking house.
Well, let's go in and have a proper look round.
How long has the house been empty?
Not long. The previous owner died and her son is selling it. She'd lived here about 30 years.
It looks like it needs a little modernising, particularly the kitchen. I have many ideas of things we could change. But that's no problem, as my brother is a carpenter, so he will help us out. What do you think, Alex?
I really like it. I think we should make an offer on it.
I'll leave you to look round the rest of the house. The conservatory leads out onto the patio and the garden. The garden needs some work doing to it, but it's not in bad condition considering it hasn't been looked after for some time. So I'll see you in a short while. Take your time.
Thank you.
Now listen to the conversation again. Mr. and Mrs. Rosen, you've come to view Hillfields.
Yes, we spoke to you yesterday about a viewing.
We've had so much interest in this house. It's in such a nice area and very close to local amenities.
It's certainly one of the best situated houses we've seen for a long time.
Right. Are you ready to go?
Yes. I really hope this is the one. We've had so many disappointments. We were feeling quite disillusioned. We've made offers on several houses. Not all at the same time, of course. But we lost out on the property each time.
Just take a turn to the left, and it's immediately on your right.
We know. We've driven past several times. It's really a very attractive looking house.
Well, let's go in and have a proper look round.
How long has the house been empty?
Not long. The previous owner died, and her son is selling it. She'd lived here about 30 years.
It looks like it needs a little modernising, particularly the kitchen. I have many ideas of things we could change, but that's no problem, as my brother is a carpenter, so he will help us out. What do you think, Alex?
I really like it. I think we should make an offer on it.
I'll leave you to look round the rest of the house. The conservatory leads out onto the patio and the garden. The garden needs some work doing to it, but it's not in bad condition considering it hasn't been looked after for some time. So I'll see you in a short while. Take your time.
Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3, Debate and Discussion. You will now hear a debate and discussion. You will hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate.
A newly introduced computing qualification is leaving girls behind. A revolution is underway in the teaching of computer science in schools. But there is the chance that it is not reaching pupils from poorer backgrounds, girls and ethnic minorities. In the studio, we have Demetrius Siu, a professor at Hampton University, who has compiled an annual study of computing education. Demetrius, what are your views on this new qualification?
Well, just 28% of schools enter pupils for a computing exam last year. There is also evidence that girls aren't being persuaded to take an interest in computer science.
What were the exam results like?
It looks as though those that did the exams were very focused, and girls got higher grades than boys. But we are at an early stage in developing computing education, and things should improve.
What do you think would persuade pupils to take a computer science qualification? There must be some action which schools and colleges can take.
Yes, you see, people believe computer science is only for those interested in becoming programmers, so computer class sizes have reduced. This means schools and colleges are at risk of losing funding, as the government could believe these classes are not financially viable unless more pupils take up the qualification.
So, there is a great deal of work to be done to raise the profile of computing qualifications. Was it the same with the old computing qualification?
No. More pupils took the old qualification in computing, even when it was being phased out, and the entrants were far more representative of the wider population. The issue is that the new qualification is so different that many teachers just do not have the knowledge to teach it.
Demetrius, thank you for your input and views.
Now listen to the debate again.
A newly introduced computing qualification is leaving girls behind. A revolution is underway in the teaching of computer science in schools. But there is the chance that it is not reaching pupils from poorer backgrounds, girls and ethnic minorities. In the studio, we have Demetrius Siu, a professor at Hampton University, who has compiled an annual study of computing education. Demetrius, what are your views on this new qualification?
Well, just 28% of schools enter pupils for a computing exam last year. There is also evidence that girls aren't being persuaded to take an interest in computer science.
What were the exam results like?
It looks as though those that did the exams were very focused, and girls got higher grades than boys. But we are at an early stage in developing computing education, and things should improve.
What do you think would persuade pupils to take a computer science qualification? There must be some action which schools and colleges can take.
Yes, you see, people believe computer science is only for those interested in becoming programmers, so computer class sizes have reduced. This means schools and colleges are at risk of losing funding, as the government could believe these classes are not financially viable unless more pupils take up the qualification.
So, there is a great deal of work to be done to raise the profile of computing qualifications. Was it the same with the old computing qualification?
No. More pupils took the old qualification in computing, even when it was being phased out, and the entrants were far more representative of the wider population. The issue is that the new qualification is so different that many teachers just do not have the knowledge to teach it.
Demetrius, thank you for your input and views.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debates and Discussion. Now you will hear discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to our daily discussion. Today, we are talking about banning diesel vehicles from cities. We have Syra, a member of Air Pollution Campaign Group, Cities Against Diesel, and Lau, a member of the Automobile Association, AA, in Central Cities. Syra, why should diesel be banned?
As you know, doctors and health professionals have urged major cities to ban diesel vehicles due to fears over air pollution. Cities Against Diesel, as well as hundreds of health professionals and medical students, have asked major cities to ban diesel in urban areas and to phase it out elsewhere. It is said that over 9,000 people die each year because of the inferior air quality in cities.
We all believe that the ban is worthwhile, but it cannot be achieved overnight.
But why can't it be achieved quickly? It seems some things can be implemented quickly.
Reducing air pollution by phasing out diesel and helping people change to walking, cycling and public transport is critical but difficult. In addition, we need the government's support to clean up transport and make car companies accountable for selling products that do not meet legal and health limits.
None of these things can be achieved overnight. Also, there is work to be done persuading haulage and delivery companies and car manufacturers.
It has been proposed we start with a levy on the worst polluting vehicles and implement clean fuel bus zones. I would be happy with this and do concede we need to pace the introduction of the changes.
So we agree this is not an easy change to implement. And it seems a staged approach is necessary. Thank you both so much for your valuable and interesting input. Now listen to the discussion again. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to our daily discussion. Today, we are talking about banning diesel vehicles from cities. We have Syra, a member of Air Pollution Campaign Group, Cities Against Diesel, and Lau, a member of the Automobile Association, AA, in Central Cities. Syra, why should diesel be banned?
As you know, doctors and health professionals have urged major cities to ban diesel vehicles due to fears over air pollution. Cities Against Diesel, as well as hundreds of health professionals and medical students, have asked major cities to ban diesel in urban areas and to phase it out elsewhere. It is said that over 9,000 people die each year because of the inferior air quality in cities.
We all believe that the ban is worthwhile, but it cannot be achieved overnight.
But why can't it be achieved quickly? It seems some things can be implemented quickly.
Reducing air pollution by phasing out diesel and helping people change to walking, cycling and public transport is critical but difficult. In addition, we need the government's support to clean up transport and make car companies accountable for selling products that do not meet legal and health limits.
None of these things can be achieved overnight. Also, there is work to be done persuading haulage and delivery companies and car manufacturers.
It has been proposed we start with a levy on the worst polluting vehicles and implement clean fuel bus zones. I would be happy with this and do concede we need to pace the introduction of the changes.
So we agree this is not an easy change to implement. And it seems a staged approach is necessary. Thank you both so much for your valuable and interesting input. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. that is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.